वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सारस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरये श्रीन्वतं स्वाकता कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः रुदन्तस्तो ह्य भद्राणि विदुनोति सुहुसतां नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service onto the personality of Godhead, whose praise the transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable. Thank you, Prabhu. So today's verse for discussion, Canto 5, Chapter 17. Sorry, what am I saying? Canto 5, Chapter 24, Verse Number 19. So the chapter Subterranean Heavenly Planets, verse number 19, it is fairly in the form of a prose. So I'll try to read in a prose form and then we'll take the word-to-word meaning. No evaitat sakshat karo bhumi dhanasya yattad bhagavati asesha jiva nikayanam जीव भूतात्म भूते परमात्मनि वासुदेवे तीर्थात्मक पात्र उपन्ने पराय श्रद्धाय परमादार समाहिता मनसा संप्रति पादि तस्य साक्षात् अपवर्ग द्वारस्य यद् बिल नीलायश्वरम् Word-to-word meaning by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. No, not, eva, indeed, etat, this, sakshatkara, the direct result, bhumidhanasya, of contribution of land, yat, which, tat, that Bhagavati onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Asesha Jiva Nikayanam, of unlimited numbers of living entities. Jiva Bhuta Atma Bhute, who is the life of and the super soul. Parama Atmani, the Supreme Regulator, Vasudeve, Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, Tirtha Tame, who is the best of all places of pilgrimage, Patre, the most worthy recipient, Upapanni, having approached, Paraya, by the topmost, Sreddhaya, faith, Parama Adhara, with great respect, Samahita Manasa, with an attentive mind, sampratipadidasya, which was given sakshat directly. Apavarga dvarasya, the gate of liberation, yat, which bilanilaya of bilasvarga, the imitation heavenly planets, aishwaryam, the opulence. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear King, Bali Maharaja donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamana Deva. But one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bilasarga as a result of his charitable disposition. Yes, King Bali Maharaj has donated all his possessions to the Supreme Lord, Vamana Deva. But one should not think that the opulence he has received in Bilasvarga is a consequence, a result of his charitable disposition. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, lives within everyone as the friendly super soul, and under his direction a living entity enjoys or suffers in the material world. Greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material but to become a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically opened. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much of material opulence merely because of his charity. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think that the material opulence of the devotee is a result of his devotional service. The real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. Om Ajnan Om Ajnan Atimirandasya Shalakaya. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate girim yat kripatamaham vande paramananda madhavam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the form of Satchitananda Vigraha, transcendental bliss, knowledge and eternity, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him who turned the dumb into eloquent speakers and enables the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. He Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarobhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhye Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sadi Gaura Bhakta Rindare Krishna Re Krishna 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 Re Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. I'll read the translation again. My dear King, Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadev, but one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bilvaswarga as a result of his charitable disposition. The Supreme Personality of the Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, lives within everyone as the friendly super soul. And under his direction, a living entity enjoys or suffers in the material world. Greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically opened. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much material opulence merely because of his charity. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with a good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think that the material opulence of a devotee is the result of his devotional service. The real result of the devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. So I was looking through this verse, and I found that there's no purport for this verse, but still I said, let's try to have a discussion on this verse itself. And then I was checking Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, whether there is any commentary on this verse. And incidentally, we do find a commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And the commentary reads as, some people will think that Bali attained his position on Sutala as a result of giving land to Vamana. This verse negates that idea, that it's not that because Bali Maharaj has given land to Vamana, that is all the three, the entire universe Bali Maharaj has given in charity to Vamanadev, it's not because of that Lord in return gave Sutala. And this verse negates that idea. The wealth in his abode in Sutala is not the real result. Sakshat Karaha. The wealth in his abode in Sutala is not the real result of giving land to the Lord. His giving land is famous. Bhumi means the three worlds. It is stated in the scripture that just by giving a small portion of land to a Brahmana learned in the Vedas, one can attain the enjoyment of Swarga. Thus, it is impossible that he attained only enjoyment of wealth on Sutala as a result of giving the three worlds to the Supreme Lord. So what do the scriptures say? If you give a small portion of the land to a Brahmana learned in the Vedas, then one can attain the enjoyment of Swarga. But here, Bali Maharaj has given the three worlds, and therefore it is impossible that he attained only just the enjoyment of wealth on Sutala as a result of giving this three worlds to the Supreme Lord. He should get liberation from the world itself. And the incidental enjoyment on Sutala should be greater than the enjoyment on Swarga. So receiving Sutala planet for his living, for the rest of his life, was only an incidental factor. And the wealth or the enjoyment on Sutala is far, far greater than the role he was, or the Amravati he was holding on
after defeating Indra. So he should get liberation from the world, and hence it's only an incidental component that Sotala was given, which has much greater enjoyment than Swarga. He gave land to Lord Vasudeva, who acts as the life of beings, Jiva Bhuta Atma Bhute Antaryami. But he is the supreme Atma, Paramatmani, being the Amsi or source of all the Antaryamis. Vistabhyaham idam Krishnam ekam sena stito jagat. By one portion of myself I am situated in this universe. Being fit as the supreme Upapanni, he is also the supreme pure Tirthatmani. If giving a leaf of flowers gives liberation, how much more will giving the three worlds yield? Apasvarga Dwarasya. Thus merely attaining Sutala is not the result of his giving the three worlds. So therefore, Vishnachakvadi Thakur elaborates on this verse by saying that by just offering patram pushpam palam toyam to a qualified brahmana in Vedic scripture, one attains swarga. So, having received the Sutala planet where he was asked to live, it cannot be the consequence of giving the charity of the entire universe itself. So we find that in scriptures, not only in Vedic scripture, but throughout the scriptures of all the other religions as well, charity is recommended. And Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, yajna dana tapascheva. So yajna dana should be given, that purifies even a purified soul. And if you look at the way the charity is done normally, we find that people give charity for various material reasons. For example, it is said that someone who gives food to a hungry man, then you feel satisfied. Yeah, I have given. So I become the center that I have given something to this person who is hungry, and therefore you feel satisfied. This reminds me of an incident which happened long back. We had a function at home in Hyderabad, and there's a lot of food was left out, because in those days there was no concept of prasadam at home, so it was just food. It was left out, and we have a nearby Hanuman temple. I said, so much of food is going to get wasted, so let us take and give it to poor people, because there, in front of temples in India, you have many, we call them as beggars, who sit there. So brother and myself, we took all that food was left out. That was about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the night, because it was a dinner. And what was left out, we said, we can't waste it, we take it. And we took it there, and as we were giving to the beggars who were sitting in a row, and one of the guy, he said that, don't think that you are giving us in charity, it's getting spoiled, therefore you are giving it to me. So I was jolted from my so-called false ego. He said, don't think that you are doing me a favor by giving food. After all, instead of throwing it to the bin, you are giving it to us. So generally we feel that, okay, giving food to somebody, you feel satisfied. But then, once again, we are in the center. And said that if someone gives sesame seeds in charity, that till, then one is blessed with cherished progeny, I believe. So you give sesame seeds, you can expect desired children. Whereas true Vedic scripture, as Prabhupada says, one should perform Garbhadana Samskara. So when you perform Garbhadana Samskara, typically, how do we perform Garbhadana Samskara? We need to chant the holy name of the Lord. Both the couples should chant. In fact, I think His Holiness Sankarsh Das Adhikari Maharaj said once that, commenting on the disciples, he suggested them to chant, if I'm not mistaken, 64 rounds. And both the couple, they chanted 64 rounds, and when they chanted 64 rounds, they lost their desire for mating. So therefore, but here we say that just give sesame seeds and then you get cherished progeny. Then you give some lamp, deepam, then you get eyesight, I believe. And one who donates land, in turn, receives land again. So it is reciprocation. Then whoever donates gold is blessed with long life. And you donate silver are blessed with beauty and charm. But that's not what Krishna is suggesting in Bhagavad Gita. He says that you should perform charity in Bhagavad Gita 17.20. For what purpose? Charity given out of duty without expectation of return at the proper time and place and to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. So one should give as a matter of duty. To whom? It should not be done apatradhanam. Someone who does not deserve, to such a person you should not perform charity. That's in mode of ignorance. Or do not expect anything in return, which is in mode of passion. But here you are performing, you are giving charity for a higher cause. And what is that higher cause? Srila Prabhupada gives in the very first line, the purport, in the Vedic literature, charity given to a person engaged in spiritual activities is recommended. So one is supposed to give in charity only for a person who is engaged in spiritual activities. And by giving charity to a person who is engaged in spiritual activities, what is the result? You get the spiritual benefit. So in all the previous examples we have seen, what you get is a material benefit. So for the sake of material benefit, one should not perform charity. Rather, one should perform charity for a spiritual gain, which is an eternal benefit. And that's what we find in the way in which Bali Maharaj gives charity. If we go through the pastime of Bali Maharaj, how he has given charity, it's an interesting series of steps in which the dialogue which takes place between Bali Maharaj and Vamana Dev, and then Bali Maharaj and Shukracharya. As we all know that Bali Maharaj occupies the throne of Swarga. So therefore, he has wrenched Swarga from Lord Indra. So which means that he has gone against the wish or the will of the Supreme Lord. Because you are required to take up what has been authorized to you. So this is not authorized to you, but still forcibly showing your strength, you have captured Amravati and then occupied someone else's position. That means that you are denying someone his right, and that's against the wish of the Lord. Ishopanishad also says, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. Everyone is assigned a quota, and therefore you should take up your quota but not someone else's quota. But at the same time, we should remember that Bali Maharaj is the grandchild of Prahlad Maharaj. And so therefore he is born, though born in the family of a demoniac race, but still he is the grandchild of a great devotee. Not only a great devotee, but he is also son of Vilochana, who was himself a great in giving in charity. And this we find the thread throughout Vedic scripture, that great personalities did not hesitate to give in charity whatever they had, including their life itself. That's the beauty of Vedic literature, Vedic scripture, because the basics of Vedic scripture is understood very well by the living entity. What is that? That we are not the body, but we are the spirit soul. And this is known no matter whether the person is a rickshaw puller or a beggar on the street in India, but every guy there, he knows that he is not the body, he is the spirit soul, and he believes that whatever he is placed in that situation is because of his previous karma. So Vilochana also was a great charioteer, a person who gave a lot of charity, so much so that he inherits the kingdom from his father Prahlad Maharaj, and then he receives a crown, and so long he has that golden crown on his head, no one could defeat him. So therefore, devatas, they understand that he is the person who is having that crown, they trick him and request him to give his crown, and he gives his crown, knowingly pretty well that this is going to destroy him. So that's the beauty of Vedic culture, knowing that the persons who has asked him his crown are the devatas in disguise, but still he gives them his crown, and the result of that is that he is killed mercilessly by the devatas. And because of that, his son Bali Maharaj becomes extremely angry, and then he launches an onslaught on Swarga. Initially he is killed, but his Gurudev Shukracharya revives him because he has got the ability to revive dead persons. So he had Sanjeevani. So he's not an ordinary Acharya, but he's a great Acharya who had that ability, and he revives, and with his blessings he performs Yajna, and then he achieves Swarga. And at that time, he was displaying his so-called pride. He was very proud with my valor that I have occupied Swarga. And then looking at his valor, his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj curses him. Not cursing, he says that don't be so much proud of your valor that when Lord Vishnu comes, he'll take it away, he'll kill you. And Bali Maharaj says, who is that Lord Vishnu? How can he kill me? What can he do? That sort of a response Bali Maharaj gives, and Prahlad Maharaj becomes very angry. That's the time when he curses him, that you are going to lose everything what you have. And Bali Maharaj, as you know, he falls at his grandfather's feet, begs for mercy. And Prahlad Maharaj says, yes, that curse cannot be withdrawn, but you will get the benefit of meeting the Supreme Lord, my worshipable Lord. So the Bali Maharaj being born as a grandchild of Prahlad, the beach, the seed of bhakti is already sown in his heart. And that requires to be polished. And what was coming in between for him to achieve the highest goal of life is his pride. So therefore, when Lord performs his pastimes, in one pastime, he achieves many goals. And this is what we find in many sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the first canto, the other day we were trying to do as Bhakti Vaibhava, we find that Lord Krishna takes Yudhishthir Maharaj to Bhishma Dev. And in that, Srila Prabhupada writes his purport that three aspects are achieved the same time in taking Pandavas to Bhishma Dev. That Bhishma Dev wanted to see Pandavas in that kingly robes with all the opulences. But that was a desire of Bhishma Dev, because he has seen Pandavas right from childhood suffering. And therefore, Krishna makes the arrangement in such a way that, like he taught Bhagavad Gita, so that Arjuna was placed in a consciousness, in a situation where he could instruct Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, Yudhishthira Maharaj is all consciousness is also covered, and therefore, like an ordinary person, he is lamenting, and to see that he receives appropriate instruction. And to glorify Bhishma Dev, he takes Pandavas along with he accompanies Pandavas to Bhishma Dev, where Bhishma Dev can give the instruction to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So that way, his devotee Bhishma Dev gets glorified. So one, that he is fulfilling the desire of Bhishma Dev to see that the Pandavas come in that opulence, chariot, jewel, and also that's how they go there. Two, that Bhishma Dev could give instruction to Pandavas or Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was lamenting like an ordinary person. And three, the personal relationship between himself and Bhishma Dev, because Bhishma Dev wanted to see Lord Krishna before his departure. Ante Narayana Hari. So he wanted to see. So in that one single pastime, many things are achieved by the Lord. So similarly, here also we find two things are being achieved in this pastime. One, Lord Indra wanted his kingdom back. And at the same time, here Bali Maharaj is a great devotee, but covered with the false ego. And therefore, if that false ego is removed, then he becomes a pure devotee. He develops the prema towards Lord Vamanadeva. So therefore, to fulfill both the aspects, he appears as Lord Vamanadeva, as a Brahmana, beautiful Brahmana, and then he takes the wealth. So when that ego, in Sanskrit we call this manaha or man. And to remove that ego, one should become humble. Then you reverse that manaha, it becomes namaha. So manaha is a false ego, and namaha is humility. And in 13th chapter, 8 to 12 verses, Lord Krishna talks about amanitvam. It starts with humility. So humility is an ornament of an individual. And without humility, one has no place in the spiritual world. That's why manaha is the pride. But if you add an adjective, that manaha becomes abhiman. Man is pride. Abhiman is excessive pride. So in Telugu we say abhimanam. Naaku baga abhimanam andi. So I am a very abhimani. So therefore it means that the person does not know what he is talking, but actually what he means is that I've got lot of false ego. But Duryodhan was Durabhiman. It's not just man, abhiman, but he was Dhurabhiman, which means that intolerably proud. That he is so proud that one dare not even lift a finger in front of him. Otherwise, he'll chop the person's head. So much of proud in him, and that he displays all through in his life. So here we find that Bali Maharaj also had that pride. Although he was a wonderful devotee, but he had that pride. And that pride has to be taken away. And this we find in devotees as well. We may be chanting, or I may be chanting, I may be following 4 regulatory principles. I may display so-called humility, but when I'm challenged, that abman becomes abhiman and can also durabhiman. So it is not that durabhiman is only to Duryodhan. It is in me as well. That abhiman is in me as well. And when the situation arises, I protect or I defend myself to the last bit of abhiman and durabhiman. And this I have experienced and also experiencing. And I have also displayed this couple of times. I continue to display. I can give one example where this has happened with a devotee. We were attending a function at a devotee's house, and one of the devotees, he said that I have purchased a property near the temple, but I'm a very poor person. I don't know what made me, I reacted wildly to that statement. I said, Prabhu, you say that you purchased a property near the temple, and this is like in India, lips say something and the heart is saying something. And what you want is everyone should glorify you that how rich you are. But instead of that, you are saying, I'm a very poor person and I have just one property near the temple. Without selling your other property, you have purchased a property in the temple, and you purchased another property, but I'm a very poor person. And so that's how I reacted. But later on, I felt so sad, so bad that what made me to say that is none of my business. If a devotee says that, well, that's a statement, just take it on face and then move on. But that kept on pricking me, that the way I reacted, and I wanted to meet the person for some time, maybe a month or two, we could not meet once again. And when I met him then I took his hands into me and said, I'm extremely sorry for what I have done. I wanted, in the mind, I touched his feet, but externally I did not display because of the age difference. The other person may feel awkward, and therefore I said, let me not do that. But at least internally I was feeling, and externally I apologized. He said, no, Prabhu, it's okay. But I could see the gap in the 2 months. There was a difference in my consciousness. It was pricking me. And after I apologized, I felt a huge relief. A burden has been taken out from my shoulder. So what I'm trying to say is that let us not let me not think that someone else is Durabhiman, someone else is Abhiman, or someone else is showing the man, but I am a very pure, I am a simple, humble person. No, when I am challenged with situations, how do I react? And especially when I am hurting others. Because I could see on the face of the devotee, devotee was disturbed with my response. I shouldn't say it's a response, I should say it's a reaction. Because response is always should be spiritual. That is what is the true Vedic response, that when I respond, it should benefit the other person spiritually. But in this case, it has hurt the person. And this we find, we rub it aside, we brush it aside, and then do it time and again in our life. We don't care what is happening with our action to others. Even if I commit a mistake, I just say, no, it's not my mistake. It was your mistake and my mistake. Let's share the mistake. It's okay. Something has happened to you because of my activity. That's fine. But don't tell me entirely that was my mistake. And so long we have this consciousness, this attitude, we cannot purify our consciousness. And when we cannot purify consciousness, there is no place for us in the spiritual world. And this is what we see in this pastime. Because there's a lot of dialogue, interaction between Shukracharya and Bali Maharaj. Shukracharya tells Bali Maharaj that the person who has come to take arms is not an ordinary person, he is Lord Vishnu himself. So because he is Lord Vishnu himself, you should not give your wealth. He'll take away everything. Now, if you read Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on that, we find that Bali Maharaj, internally, he was feeling very happy. Oh, Lord Vishnu himself has come asking, my worshipable Lord has come, so therefore I should give. But externally, he didn't want to hurt Shukracharya's Gurudev, and he wouldn't address Lord Vishnu as a Supreme Lord, but he would address him only as a Brahmana. Okay, the Brahmana is asking only three steps. I've already taken a vow. And I cannot go back on my vow. But Shukracharya says that, okay, you have taken a vow, but in that vow, typically a sankalpa, you have to take vow by chanting Om. You have not chanted Om, and therefore that vow is not complete according to the Praman, and therefore you can always withdraw. But Bali Maharaj says, no, I've already given my vow, and therefore I'll stick by the vow. I'll abide by it. And there the dialogue, it says, if I have something to give and I say I have nothing, how can I avoid the sin of lying? This is Shukracharya saying, if I have something and I don't give, I say I have nothing to give, then isn't it lying? And that lying, Bhumi Devi says that I cannot tolerate a liar. I can tolerate anyone, but the heaviness of a liar cannot be tolerated. So he says that one may obstruct dharma by disobeying the Guru, but one will obstruct bhakti by disobeying the Lord. So this is what it means is that I should be very clear in my purpose of life. What is my purpose of life? what is my goal to be achieved in life? If my goal is to achieve the highest achievement which can be received, that the prema, Krishna prema, then I should be willing to do anything and everything to achieve that highest goal. And that's what we find in the pastime of Bali Maharaj, that the goal for him was not in terms of, okay, I should some material benefits, I should follow what my Gurudev is saying. He was prepared to reject even his Gurudev, but for whom he wouldn't have been alive itself. Because after all, after he lost the battle, he died, and it was his Guru Shukracharya who revived him. So therefore, in one sense, he owes everything to his Gurudev. But between Gurudev and the Supreme Lord, when the situation came and Gurudev's instruction was contradicting himself, because he is saying, don't give it to Lord Vishnu, that at the time, it's not an easy decision. But being the grandchild of Prahlad Maharaj, having had that seed of bhakti from his grandfather, and having therefore he understood the essence of instruction from his Gurudev, so therefore the time when his Gurudev says, no, you should not give, because Lord Vishnu himself has come, he even rejects his Gurudev. And then he gives whatever the Lord has asked. But what did the Lord do? Finally he said, okay, you have given, only satisfied my two steps. What about my third step? Because in two steps he has occupied the entire wealth. So where is my third step? And if you don't give me my third step, you are going to be the liar. And that's the time when Bali Maharaj, as we all know, he gives his own head and thus satisfies the Lord. But before that, he is tied by Varuna. Garuda comes and ties him, and he says that, okay, you are a sinner in the sense that you have not fulfilled the third step, your promise. And then he ties him, because Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness. And in return, what did Vamandev give? He takes away, he gives him the Sutala planet. Not only he gives the Sutala planet, where he can have opulences much more than what he could enjoy in Amravati, because that there he was trying to live forcefully, but here Krishna has arranged, or Lord Vamandev has arranged this. But at the same time, he got purified. So this is what we find the difference between an ordinary person giving charity to a devotee giving charity. Because devotee performs charity for a higher cause, for spiritual purification, whereas an ordinary person gives in charity, once again, for a material result. And Bali Maharaj, he had entire wealth at his disposal, so he doesn't require any more. He was more, because that he was a devotee, and he had that bhav already, and he achieved prema by giving whatever Lord wanted. And Lord fulfilled his desire in terms of, okay, giving him opulence much more than what he had in Swarga, because Lord knows very well that he is not going to spoil that wealth, or he is not going to misuse that wealth. Not only that he is not going to misuse his wealth, but he also facilitated all his family and extended family members to accompany him and stay in Sutala planet, so that they all can be elevated. So the association of Bali Maharaj to his servants or other demon families would help him, or would help them to become elevated consciously. And not only that, Lord went a step further and said that you are going to have my association constantly. Every day you can see me, you can have my darshan. Now this is what a devotee aspires in life, that we want constant association of the Lord, we want constant association of devotees, and at the end of the life, return back home, back to Godhead. This is for reason, this is the purpose of our life. So unless we define our purpose clearly, then our pathway will be troublesome, or our pathway is not equally well laid out. So therefore it's a sort of a strategic plan, that we should have a goal. What is that goal I wish to achieve in my life? And in this pastime we find that the goal to be achieved is the prema of the Lord. So in order to achieve that prema of Lord, whatever we have, whatever is required in terms of financial, social, economical, whatever may be the resources we have, all that should be utilized in His service. And if that can be done, just as Bali Maharaj has achieved the affection of the Supreme Lord, then the individual also achieves the affection of the Supreme Lord. And for that, including the so-called pride we have, that should be brought down to, from mana, it should become nama. One should turn it topsy-turvy. Then one achieves the goal. How do we do this practically as part of the congregation? Yeah, this is the Bali Maharaj's pastime, where he achieved his false ego, his man or abhiman, became amanita. He became a very humble servant of the Lord, so much so that Lord was pleased to become his servant, and then continuously giving him darshan and protecting him. When we say protecting, it is the consciousness of Bali Maharaj and his servants, and of course he was holding his chakra also. And this happiness, which is achieved by a devotee, is far, far, far superior to the happiness one can achieve by merging with the Brahmanda, or by the impersonal liberation. So we find that Gurudev, in his book, he talks about this part, that he is commenting that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami talks about the happiness, and Prabhupada summarizes the statements in Nectar of Devotion, first chapter. If Brahmananda, or the happiness of becoming one with the Supreme, is multiplied by 1 trillion fold, it still cannot compare to an atomic fraction of happiness derived from the ocean of devotional service. So it is therefore that for that devotional service, or for that bhakti, a person is willing to sacrifice everything. And Gurudev continues his commentary on this verse. In Hari Bhakta Sudhodaya, Prahlad Maharaj, while praying to Lord Narasimha Dev, says this: "My dear Lord of the universe, I am feeling transcendental pleasure in your presence and have become merged in the ocean of happiness. Now I consider the happiness of Brahmananda to be no more than the water in the impression left behind the calf's hoof in the earth." So, so-called liberation, or so-called impersonal liberation, that's compared to an insignificant factor in front of achieving pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. And how do we translate this into our own life? Because Gurudev continues the comment, quoting from Sridhara Swami, then that any happiness derived from dharma, artha, kama, moksha is insignificant in comparison to the happiness derived from devotional service. So thus, merely attaining sutala cannot be the result of Bali's offering Lord Vamanadev the three words. So that's how Gurudev concludes on this particular verse. And we also find that when Lord is pleased with a devotee, he displays his happiness or he takes away whatever the devotee has, so that the devotee becomes totally dependent on the Supreme Lord. And we have that beautiful story of Krishna and Arjuna going to a Brahmana house. The only cow Brahmana has, he takes away that cow, so that that Brahmana becomes totally dependent on the Lord. Whereas to a Vaishya, he has lot of wealth, and then to him he gives more wealth. So therefore, how do we apply this to our life as a devotee? What is that we need to do? What can we do to achieve this, the goal of Bali Maharaj? And Srila Prabhupada has, out of his kindness, mercy, has established this institution, and the logo, if you all recall, it shows the two parts of that logo on the gate of ISKCON Mayapur, which is received from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, where you have on one side the Bhagavat mark is shown and the other side the Pancharatrika mark is shown. So therefore, as part of the Pancharatrika mark, you worship the deities. And as the Bhagavat mark, you do the chanting, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, but equally there is a mridanga shown there, implying that we should follow this Sankirtana movement. So by following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtana movement, which Srila Prabhupada has established so practically, accessible to everyone, we can also achieve the same goal as achieved by Bali Maharaj, becoming a pure devotee. So once you so the goal is to become a pure devotee, and the rest of it, material opulence or anything else, if required, if Lord arranges one's life, yes, one has it, but all that is, once again, it's only nimitta matram. Yesterday that property, that wealth was not mine. Tomorrow, once again, it's not going to be mine. Because yesterday only it was not mine. And tomorrow I'm not going to be here. Once again, it's not going to be mine. So for the sake of the temporariness, why should we give away our true wealth instead of striving for the eternal wealth? And to strive for the eternal wealth, we have to participate in the Sankirtana movement. And by participating in Sankirtana, you are not only purifying yourself, you are also giving a facility, opportunity, as Bali Maharaj has given the opportunity to other Daitya families to become purified. So equally, we give an opportunity for others who have not taken to this path. And this is the purpose of human life. So let's best utilize our life by participating in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtana movement, as given to us in a very simplified... Actually, Srila Prabhupada has given to us this on a platter. He said, just take it. I've done all processing. Everything has been done. You only have to use it. You only have to apply to your life and apply to the life of everyone with whom you come in contact. And therefore, you take the, you achieve the purpose for which you have taken the human life, and equally facilitate others to achieve the same. And along the way, whatever pride we have and whatever mistakes we commit, and especially if it is harming others, we should go and rectify that situation. Otherwise, that remains as an obstacle. That pride, that fame, with Bali Maharaj thought that I am the king. That's an obstacle. And we find Raghunatha Goswami in Manasiksha, he says that thinking that I am famous is such an obstacle, it's like drenching in donkey's urine. So pride, fame, these are all, pride, I think there he compares that to the thugs and rogues, and so therefore one should overcome this by remaining as truly the servant of the servant of the servant, always in a serving mood, nothing for me, everything for others. If that can enter into my consciousness, that should become part of my sadhana. If I can cultivate that along with my chanting, yes, one day when I chant, all this as a byproduct will appear, but in my practice, I should show from day one, I'll be tested again and again. Actually, Krishna makes the arrangement, like we have in the university's exams at the end of the semester, or at regular intervals we have the exams, so that the student displays whether the person is up to the scratch or not. Equally, Lord throws us the turbulences in our life so that he is testing how well we not react but respond to those turbulences. And in that exam, Bali Maharaj has come out successfully, and because he has come out successfully, Lord, out of his kindness, mercy, said, okay, you have a desire to enjoy, okay, I give you a sutala. Not only sutala in this life, but the next life you will become Indra. So next life, in the next millennium, you will find a pure devotee, Bali Maharaj, becoming Indra. And yeah, so that's the way how Lord reciprocates to an individual. I think it's 9. I better stop at this stage. Any question or any comment? Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.